Every 18 months, 2 years or so, I like to talk on what we call a generous heart. I'm talking about generosity as worship. So every sort of year and a half or so, I like to talk about that. We've got a busy morning. I'm going to speak really fast this morning, so I hope you can keep up with me. It's always strange when I'm speaking on generosity, because on the one hand, I'm really mindful of the verse that says the left hand shouldn't know what the right hand is doing, so most generosity should be private. And yet, as the leader of the church, I feel I need to tell some stories that I feel a little bit awkward about, where we feel has either been a challenge or God has come through for us as a family to build your faith. And so we'll do a bit of that as well, and I'll get over the awkwardness, if you will, because the point is this: I believe living a generous life is the best way to live. And so I would encourage anybody and everybody, wherever you are on this journey, to strap yourselves in, get on board, because I believe God wants all of us to follow this journey of Him transforming us and helping us to be a generous people. You see, I want to start with you matter and God's involved. When I gave my life to Jesus, I don't know how it was for you, but I had a reasonably early understanding that He was now King and Lord. I've made a million mistakes since and would continue to get it wrong, but I at least understood in my heart that in becoming a Christian, He's now King and Lord, and therefore His will, His purpose, His expectations, His rule and reign in my life was a real and tangible thing. It would reach down. This statement of me becoming a Christian means that God could now reach into any and every area of my life, and I was going to build my life on what I believe Jesus was doing. And so it doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes and we don't need grace and forgiveness. Gosh, thank God that's flowing. But I at least understood at some level that was the case. And I knew in those early days that something had changed in my heart. And I knew I wanted to invest my life into something beyond myself. You know, I wouldn't have necessarily used the word generosity, but I knew something had been birthed within me in coming to faith, that I didn't want to be a selfish person. I wanted to be a generous person. But I found it quite a challenge initially to know, well, how do I do that? Practically, how do I do that? And I'll come on to that really, which is the nub of what I want to talk about this morning. But as a final year student, I wasn't a great student, and we could tell those stories. I wasn't a great student, but I'd got myself on a course, a residential course, where a multinational company was training me in interview answers and also just around the world of corporate business and stuff. So it was a real head start, if you like, in getting a job. It wasn't a job, it was a course in my final year. And I remember one evening really vividly staying in a hotel. I'd not stayed in fancy hotels before, but staying in a nice hotel. We'd had a meal, a couple of glasses of wine. The evening was going to go on in the bar and stuff, but even by then I was learning a little bit. It's time to go to bed, you know what I mean? I was even trying to moderate my drinking a bit by then. And so I went up to bed, and it was a packed week, just taking in loads of information in a setting that was unusual. And I went to bed, and I just opened my Bible, and I was reading through the Gospels, and then I read these verses. Matthew 6:29. Yet I tell you, John, if you like, is how I'm reading these verses. I tell you, John, that even though Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So why do you worry about saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. He knows you need a job, John. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I could be making this story up, do you know what I mean? If you don't know me, I'd be a little bit suspicious, thinking, is he just making up a preacher story? This is how warped my heart is, Steve. I know you find it funny, but like, is he just telling a story because it sounds good when he's talking about giving? Hopefully most of you know me well enough to know, well, what have I got to really get out of this at this point? I just believe on this evening, the first time I was seriously thinking about my future career, you know, the first time I was trying to get grasp of what's my life going to look like, that God spoke to me and says, put me first, John, and I'll sort that out. Doesn't mean we don't work hard, doesn't mean I didn't do the interview prep, but God was saying, I'm involved in this process with you. And I grasped that evening something that has forever stayed with me, that God wants to be a provider in our lives, and it was linked to putting him first. So how do we do this thing? It's linked, that the principles are linked to just literally four verses in the Bible, almost exclusively. There's loads of others, but if you just read the widow's mite, this sort of story, or the practicality around this story, really helped me get from, I'd like to be a generous person, to working out, well, how can I become a generous person? So the verses are simple. Some of you will have heard these many times. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow putting in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave out of their gifts of wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. First principle, generosity is, I've got some is and isn'ts this morning. Generosity is planned. People who steward money, people who might not be brilliant at budgeting, but have at least decided this is the sort of generous person I want to be, and this is what it looks like when I put down some sort of budget, are the ones that are normally generous. Talk is easy. Action is always more of a challenge. You see, generosity isn't just random acts of kindness. I'm all for random acts of kindness. We should be kind. But that's not what, that it isn't like just emotional random acts of kindness. Listen, if I'm doing an offering around the King's Village, for example, I unashamedly and readily will put up pictures of people in need and say, listen, we should give to causes because we live in the UK, we've got a benefit system. I know finance is tight, I get all this, but for those of us that are able to claim benefits, we've got a support structure, we've won the lottery in the sense of where we've been born. We're incredibly wealthy in this part of the world. There's food banks that can help even if we're down on our luck. And it isn't like that in many, many parts of the world. And so unashamedly, I would put up and say, let's give to this cause because it's right to give to this cause. And I've got no problem doing that. And many of us will connect on an emotional level and think, I want to give to some of that. And that's not bad in and of itself. What I've found, though, is generous people go beyond that urge and even that moment, that random act of kindness in giving, and think, actually, those sort of stories, those sort of images, I want to live my life in such a way that I'm able to give when I hear of those needs and those causes. That I want my life to be planned in such a way that I'm able to be generous. One of the challenges I found early on, before we were married, is I wanted to be generous, but I thought, I'll give away what I've got at the end of the month. You know, I'm going to try and strip my budget back a bit. I'd already tried to budget a little bit, weren't great at that, but tried to budget a little bit. And whatever I've got left at the end of the month, I'd like to give that away. Well, guess how much I had left at the end of every month? We all know, don't we? Absolutely zero. And so one of the principles I came to is, first thing I do, after prayerfully considering, I know how much I want to give, I'm going to give that money. That's going to be part of my life process. I had to lower my initial expectations. Even now, I'd like to give far more money away than I'm able to give away. You know, it's one thing to have like a random actness, kindness, emotional heart about this stuff. It's the practical stuff, I believe, that really matters. Had to lower my expectations, but make sure I gave at the start of the month. Second thing for this lady, generosity is sacrificial. It was tough for this old lady to give, this widow to give. You know, that the way our hearts are being restructured as followers of Christ is that we become God first people, other focused people, and we become further back down the queue. God says this is the best way to live. I know society makes it clear at the moment, you just look after yourself. My old granddad used to say the 11th commandment is look after yourself before you look after others. I've told you before. That was the environment that was in our family culture. Jesus gave his life. You see, it's a joy to give, but the joy comes after the sacrifice. It isn't always easy. It does always cost, but it is always worth it. Of course, generosity isn't just about money. Let me make that really clear. It's about your time. It's about your speech and encouraging. It's about other resources that you may have. But the thing that we all have in common here is we all handle money to some extent. Let me put it in a real specific way. Sarah volunteers a day a week for the King's Village. So she's dropped from 5 days a week to 4 days a week. She spends a day volunteering for the King's Village. I'm her boss on that day. And so we have some really fun management meetings on a Monday morning, you can imagine. And we've got that going. She doesn't accept for a minute that I'm a boss on those days. So I like that. She's so desperate to stand up and say stuff here now, but she knows she hasn't got a microphone. Oh, just let me just enjoy that for a moment. And so we believe in being generous with our time as well, but that doesn't mean we can't be generous with our money. It's impacted how we can be generous with our money, because she earns less and therefore we can give less. Proportionally, we've chosen to, but it doesn't get us out of the way, because some people will say to me, oh, I'm just really encouraging, you know, I'm really generous with my time. Brilliant, love it, you know what I mean? I'm not decrying that in the slightest, but it doesn't get us away from the conversation. Are we generous with our resources? For us, it is sacrificial, it does cost. I know you'll listen to some preachers that will give the impression, they won't quite say it, maybe some will, but there's almost no cost to this, and the heaven will be open and the money will just keep pouring in. And they miss the reality. For me and you, this is a sacrifice to give. I know that, you know that. And to deny that is not right. For us personally, we made the decision a long time ago. We'd prefer to give than go on holiday. That's just, or when we bought our first house, or even this house, if our finances are impacted, we would prefer to give if we couldn't keep up the mortgage payments and we go for a cheaper house. These are the sort of conversations we had. Our giving is first. We know that costs in a sacrificial sense, but it's worth it. I remember on one occasion, we'd planned a holiday. We knew we couldn't quite afford it. We'd hoped to go. Somebody came around, gave us some money. We were able to go on the holiday to the extent of I had to go out to the recycling bin. I can remember we'd thrown away the paperwork for the holiday we'd going on, but it was right at the bottom of the recycling bin. It's not as easy to get as you think when it's right that low. You tilt it over a bit, you climb in it or whatever. I just remember having to fetch out the paperwork because we want to go on holiday. We were now able to go on holiday, but we weren't going to go. We could have easily said, why don't we just stop giving for 3 months? We didn't enter our mind, because we decided in advance we're going to be a giving people. Here's my definition of sacrifice. It's a really challenging faith decision we make that really costs, but ultimately leads to greater blessing than we think. Leads to greater blessing than we think we laid down. Generosity is never about the amount. The two copper coins. Jesus is watching this lady. She gives two copper coins, nothing. In a monetary sense, she gives nothing. Next to nothing. And Jesus says, you go, girl. You've absolutely nailed this. You're the most generous person who's walked into the temple this day. It's never about the amount. Biblical giving is always proportionate. Think in terms of percents, not amounts, is my strong help for you. before I was married. Again, I lived with two of my friends, and for a couple of months or so, they were both unemployed, and I was out at work, come back, and they'd get their check from the gyro, as it called then, the £40 or whatever a week that they got. I'd come home sometimes, they'd cut each other's hair and stuff to save money, you know, they're like, look what we've done today. You know, it was just a funny time for them and stuff. But they also had allowed God get hold of their hearts. And they just gave £4 out of their £40 into their giving, how they've chosen to give. It's like pocket money, isn't it? It's like kids' money. I believe they learnt something in that phase of life that has seen them through the rest of their lives. They gave their 10% away. Generosity is about the condition of our heart. In loads of places in Scripture, the state of our heart is what matters to Jesus and is often linked to money. Here's just three verses that I enjoy. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In some cultures, it's not a significant verse. In our culture, that really matters. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, I've spoken on this before, but it's just worth repeating. Let me just repeat that verse to you. For where your treasure is, this is how most of us think this verse reads, and most of us get this wrong. We think it says, for where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. We think, because I feel generous in here, I'm bound to be generous with my resources. That's how, do you see? Whereas this is what, here's what Jesus is saying, for where your treasure is, what you do with your resources, there your heart will be also. Okay, so what I do with my resources seems to train my heart. So how do I become a more generous person? Be a more generous person. And Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If we put God first, then we believe blessing will flow into our lives. If we put money first, it seems from what Jesus is saying, and the widow understood this, that God becomes less and less significant to us. We live in a culture that loves more stuff, you know. We just love it, don't we? More stuff. We need more money to buy more stuff, to buy bigger house, and we need more stuff to fill the house that we've just bought, because we believe that this will ultimately make us happy. Whereas our Creator says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So that I'm made in the image of God. We know God is a giver. He gave his life. So therefore, ultimately, I will never find happiness by being a taker, by being a getter, by just getting more stuff. That will never ultimately lead to the happiness that I'm looking for. Because if you put it in real blunt language, Jesus is saying, you'll be a happier person if you're a giver. That's what he's saying. Because we're made in the image of God, he's a giver, and therefore something around that we find deeply fulfilling because we're made that way. I found as well, this is just for me, but I suspect it's true for many people. I found that when I finally got my act in order and I could give first, I actually handled the rest of my money much better. I valued stuff better. Everything became more significant to me. I just handled money better. I budgeted better. The 90% or whatever percentage you choose will definitely be handled better if the giving is far part of what you do first. Our consumer culture says you can spend your way to happiness, but Jesus says you'll be happier if you are a giver. Doesn't mean that we don't like stuff. I'm not advocating about poverty here. When my late dad died, he left us some money. Mum and dad had left us a chunk of money. And so with some of that money, I bought a motorbike. It's good, isn't it? Bought a motorbike. It's just great. My first motorbike I'd bought before they'd passed away, and I couldn't tell them. Maybe it was just my dad was, I can't remember which of them was alive, but I couldn't tell them I'd learnt to ride a motorbike. I just couldn't tell them. So I just had to turn up to the house once with a motorbike to say, look what I've got. The just look of shock and horror on their face or whatever. What's he done now? But anyway, with this money, I bought a motorbike. Love my motorbike. My motorbike's great. It's fantastic. But before I bought the motorbike, we'd already decided what we were giving away. I reckon I enjoy my motorbike for half the price it could have been because I'd given a proportion of that money first. We had some money left over. It truly, the order wasn't this. It made it sound like it's like giving the motorbike and the house. Because we had other money that we were moving house at the time, we could put towards the house. So it was probably giving house motorbike, if truth be told, but not in my mind anyway. We're looking around the house, and I don't know if Sarah remembers saying this. She said to me, and we're not in a millionaire's house. Many of you have been to our house. It's a nice house. We're really glad to it. But I remember her saying, I never thought we'd get to live in a house like this. But you understand, the fulfillment comes. Okay, we like the house. I love the motorbike. But the fulfillment comes in life, whatever you want to look at, because somewhere along the line we've stumbled on this journey and realized we're going to be givers. Giving trains my heart. I talked to my friend who I would absolutely agree with this, as he said once, if I had no idea about any of this, if somebody shook a tin in front of me in the pub and I gave him 10 quid, I think I was really generous. You know, we've got to allow God get to our hearts. We're so consumed with stuff here. I keep away from the giving a bit in the church context because obviously I work for church and, there's a conflict of interest potentially. So I'm distant from that. But with my other charities, I'm more involved with that. So whether it's the King's Village, I'm a trustee at Renaissance Church, I'm a trustee at Hope Church. So I'm more aware of giving patterns and stuff like that in other settings. Here's something that really amazed me. Really amazed me. So I've got an idea in some of those other settings who the significant givers are, because they sometimes have to phone me and say, we'd like to make a significant gift to this, and can you just tell us how to do that, or can I claim Clift Aid and stuff? And I'm relaxed there, relaxed, it all works well. So I know some of the people that have significantly given to some other charities and whatever, and may God bless them. Here's what absolutely blew my mind. When the Ukrainian thing kicked off, and there was the request for who could home refugees, some of the people that I know are the biggest givers in those charities were the first to phone me and said, as an NG network, if we're looking to home some refugees, I'll be first on the list if that's okay. They've learnt to give somewhere in the journey of their lives. It blew me away. I wanted to say, you're doing enough already. We capture, our faith grows, and we realize we can be generous. We never get to give, but we can't help be rewarded. You've heard me say this for 20 years. You see, I really hold very little contempt for many people in life, but the TV evangelists that preach prosperity gospel, I cannot help but hold in quite a bit of contempt, if I'm honest. Because the message is this: if you give to me, you'll get the car, you'll get the golf clubs, you'll get the house, you'll get the wife that you want. Thought some of you like that one, didn't you? there's direct correlation. I'm giving, my motivation for giving is because I want to get. How warped and corrupted and nonsense is that? It's totally different from what the scriptures teach. But if we do give, God cannot help himself but reward us. Doesn't mean there isn't a time of sacrifice. Doesn't mean that it costs, doesn't cost. It doesn't mean that it doesn't even hurt sometimes. But ultimately, God cannot help but reward us. Hebrews 11:26, Moses thought it was far better to suffer for the Christ than have all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking for God's reward. This idea of God rewarding us is like extravagant reward is the idea there, that God cannot help but extravagant reward us. The picture is like you find a wallet, it's got 50 quid in, you hand the wallet back to the person with the 50 quid and they give you a 500 quid, you know, gift for being so kind in handing the wallet back. It's a sort of imagery of extravagant reward. God saying, that's my heart to us. I want to extravagantly reward your faithfulness, your giving. Time's gone. Most important thing I need to say this morning. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. The inference is prayerfully decided, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If the band want to come back. Sometimes people say to me, oh, just tell me what to give, John, will you? That I just take the decision out of my mind. I don't want to have to think about it. Just tell me the amount. I don't know if they really would. You know, I don't know if people really would. But I understand the sentiment. I prefer just not to think about it. I just wish I knew the amount and I could sort it out. God is personally involved with our lives. He wants us to take this to him in prayer. He wants you as families to sit down. Everyone here is in a unique situation. Some of you will be married to people that aren't Christians. That might impact what you're able to give. Others of you will be going through a certain phase in life and that'll impact what you can give. You've got to work this out prayerfully with him and one another if you're married. Nobody can tell you. So if you come and ask me, I quite fancy the fun of saying a number if you like, but I won't ultimately answer the question. I can't do that. Only God can do that. But if you talk to him, he will nudge you, he will stir you, he will encourage you. Final thing, giving is part of worship. We don't pass an offering round here, but we do very deliberately have the offering in the room at the back. There's leaflets there of how you can give to church if you want to give to church. Money's fine at the minute, that's not why I'm doing this. But if you want to give, that's how you give. I believe the way for you to live a fulfilled life is to just continue this journey. Thank you so much to so many of you where you're giving, both to church and other charities. It's okay to ask God to bless you. It's not selfish. You're on this journey with him. You can say, God, will you be part of blessing my life? Giving us worship. Last couple of verses. In the Old Testament, sacrifices to the Lord were designated as gifts. When the wise men from the east worshipped the baby Jesus, their devotion was manifested in the form of gifts. It is generally conceded that the fellowship mentioned in Acts 2:42, in concert with other items of worship, embraces the act of giving. When the Philippian church gave their money for the support of Paul, God viewed it as an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. If you're going to give to church, online is actually easier for us, but all that's outlined at the back. We're going to continue to worship God this morning. We're not taking an offering, you'll be glad to know. That isn't the way we do it here. But what I am doing is, as you worship him this morning, give him your whole heart again. Just embrace him with all of your heart. And as you give yourself to him, just allow him speak into you and really encourage you and equip you and maybe challenge you in this whole area. If anyone wants prayer, if you know this is an area you want faith because it's been just a battleground for you, then some people would just love to pray for you. They're not going to counsel you at the back. They're not going to give you any advice. They're just going to pray for faith to sort of well up in you this morning if you want that. Otherwise, we're just going to worship together. Let's stand, shall we?